You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
What up, people? Let's do it. Unforgettable.
It's not gonna work for me.
This is you sing this basically every time you come over. But I am unforgettable.
You are unforgettable.
You leave and you go, wow, I'm never gonna forget that guy.
Have you ever like had a weird mole or like a weird spot on your body?
That's me.
That just came up.
That's me.
And even though it went away after a while, you're like, that's an unforgettable mark. I mean,
you'll
it's one of those.
Never you are, forget it, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gerald, the unforgettable mole.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's high praise, brother.
That's what I'm saying.
Thank you. Welcome in. What is this? Two Peas on a podcast.
No idea what's going on.
Two Peas on a podcast. Episode 63, I think. Don't quote me on that. I'll have to check the feed. I think this is 63.
That's
Gerald is here.
Andy is in La Casa.
And Gerald and Andy are here. We're going to discuss the topics of the week, brother. We're going to wrap things up and have some fun and get to know each other a little bit better. Although I feel like we're at our peak. We don't really need to.
Yeah.
I don't need to know anymore, really, to be honest.
No. After this, it's just the dark. But under gritty stuff,
whatever.
You know, like the,
we'll
you know.
Try to entertain the folks out there, tell them what's going on in the world.
Let's do it.
So, thanks for being here, brother. How was your week? What's going on, Ethan? You told me you had the special event at work last night.
Yes.
Anything else fun going on this week?
Yes. So we had the private event.
Anybody pooping in your trash can this week?
No, not this week.
You didn't find any turds in there?
No pooping in the trash can this week.
You know what my son's doing, though? We'll talk about that real quick. My son's leaving floaters in the toilet. That's
what?
It. He's taking dumps and he's just leaving them.
Yeah.
And I think he's starting to do it like on purpose now. And in the beginning, I think it was kind of an accident.
Yeah.
And we're like, dude, like you need to flush the toilet. Yeah. Like
Now
he's just like,
look what I did.
I went to the bathroom and you'll go in there and be like, ah, God.
He likes it.
You left something there and then he'll just kind of giggle.
So he likes the feedback. He likes the response.
Ow.
Very Trumpish.
He's just leaving turds in the toilet, bro. I don't know. I mean, what do you call that?
Maybe because the old Trump tweet, like a segment, he's waiting for you to record another one. He's I'm not going to flush it till you turn the mic on.
Right. I don't think he's pooped in a trash can yet, though.
Okay.
I don't think. I think that's probably coming, though.
I think it's a children thing. I guess you have to learn to flush over time because I walk into to those situations a lot.
So if people weren't here last week, we should tell them why the hell are they talking about this. But you had a friend over, or not you, but one of your friends came
over. My wife walked into the bathroom, my girl's bathroom upstairs, they have their own bathroom. She walked in and there was an unsavory smell and she opened up the trash can and there was a defecation in the trash can.
Yeah, it was your daughter, one of your daughter's friends.
That's what we
suspect.
I hope.
We're waiting to get back the investigative work.
Results.
The DNA results. Yes. But how did you tell me how your week was?
No, the week was good.
I wasn't listening.
Did anything,
was it good?
Did anything good happen?
I doubt it. Nothing good happened to me.
It was a beautiful weather.
Not really. It got kind of rainy and cold, brother. I don't know.
Never mind. It was raining. Well, that is beautiful. I like rainy and cold weather.
You do. You're a deep guy.
Yeah, it's windy today.
You sit out there in the snow. You told me that when it snows.
I do. How was your week? How are you?
I don't know. I have no idea. I can't recollect my week.
Yeah.
A lot of work and nothing. I mean, I had nothing to report.
Do you think all work and no play makes you...
I would say so. Yeah. I would say so. I get worn out, brother.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I need some...
That's life, man.
I got to recharge a little bit.
Yeah.
But
here's a good question for you. I'm going to throw you for an early loop. What do you do to recharge? Like, what is that thing that you do that gives you energy and makes you feel like
honestly,
love
I just...
my life?
Energy I don't have, so I... I have no answer to that. But I just like to rest. I don't get any rest, brother.
Like, what do you mean? Like, lay on the couch watching TV or reading a book or just sleeping or petting your
cats? Yeah, no, I don't really sleep during the day any longer. I don't do naps. I wish I did, but I can't really do naps anymore unless I doze off on accident. But I'm saying I can't consciously take a nap anymore. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, just sitting around chilling, watching TV, watching news, reading.
Cool. And you don't get to do that anymore.
Not really.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No.
Dude, the show with you is great.
Okay, this is good. You like
that
this?
That helps me get some stuff off my chest, talk about some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I've been reading the news all week and, you know, stuff builds up. So I got to just let it fly, brother.
Let it
And you're there to catch it for
I'm
me.
I'm here. I'm here with you.
Want to talk about some stuff?
Yeah, I'll do it.
All right, so I sent you a few articles in the past week.
I read them.
On our first bookend here, we're going to talk about some entertainment stuff.
Okay.
So,
I'm
going to start with this because we talked about it last week. We talked about Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And Jason, and they're doing the sleepover at Camp Crystal Lake.
Have you got your tickets yet?
No, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to be that scared. I told you. Anyway, another kind of Friday the 13th thing, and I don't know why these are all kind of going viral lately because there's not a new movie or anything coming out.
No.
There is a Friday the 13th on the calendar coming up in April.
Is there? Yeah, there is.
But I don't know. But anyway, there's a fan of the series.
Okay.
Placed a statue that he made of Jason in the bottom of a lake in Minnesota for divers to find. It's a popular diving spot.
What?
Did you see this?
So you can't see it from the surface. No. You have to get some scuba gear on. You can dive in the lake and
you
find
can
it.
Always see it if you're at the bottom of the lake.
What?
His name is Curtis Lair, and he built and placed a statue of Jason Voorhees underwater at a popular diving site in a lake in Minnesota.
Does he tell the divers about it, or does he do it just to freak
them
out?
No, he doesn't tell. Somebody found it.
Okay.
He did this a couple years ago, and it finally has been like...
It's a
divers
very, very
starting
niche,
to find.
Practical joke.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a diver thing.
But how freaked out would you be, bro?
Dude, I know.
Wow. What the fuck is this? And I mean, everybody...
Actually, instead of screaming, you do this.
Exactly. It's more accurate. Nobody's going to be able to hear you scream underwater. But also, like, everybody, whether you... Because you said you didn't watch the series, but everybody knows who Jason Voorhees is. With the hockey mask?
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
And it's almost like being at a campsite overnight or being in a cave. Underwater is just... You're already out of your element.
That would scare me.
So it's already creepy.
I mean, that would be...
I think.
And you're underwater, bro.
Yeah,
you're underwater.
It's creepy.
And if you know anything about Jason, you know he's kind of supernatural, bro. I mean, he water's not going to kill him, bro.
Is he like in a position, like poised with like the knife up?
No, I think he's just kind of sitting there with the, because I think it was either in the first one or second one, they drown him and they tied a boulder to his, like a chain to his leg or whatever. So it's recreating that. So
honestly, that sounds really freaky.
It is, dude.
Yeah.
So there's the divers found it finally. Okay. It's been a couple of years.
Have they said anything about it? Like, oh my gosh.
Well, they filmed it. Okay. They took, like the underwater cameras down there and they filmed it and that went viral because now everybody can see it. So now you can see what it looks like when you go down there. So people were kind of flocking to get their scuba gear and go down there and see the statue.
Would you dive? Are you a diver?
No. I freaked me. My wife tried to do that in the Caribbean.
Oh, you did?
On our honeymoon. Well, let me rephrase that. They have what they do, you sign up for the scuba class, right?
Okay.
And they take you out on the boat and you go scuba diving. Do all that shit. But before, if you've never been scuba diving, you have to take like a 2-hour course.
Okay.
To like learn how to breathe underwater and how the tank works and all that shit, right? We didn't make it past the pool, brother. And when I say pool, I mean the 3-foot. We didn't even go the deep end of the pool with it. So we definitely didn't scuba dive in the ocean.
Was it harder than you thought it would be?
It just very claustrophobic, bro. Like, I just had this fear of just being, I know we weren't going to go that deep, but I just had this fear of being so deep underwater, just not being, my tank wouldn't work, you know? And I couldn't really breathe.
Do you have a lot of enemies? Someone who sabotaged your
tank? You have to breathe through your mouth, and it's like, it's a weird thing, bro.
Is that hard for you?
It was.
You gotta breathe through your mouth?
Have you ever done it?
No.
It is very hard, actually.
Yeah?
It takes a level that I don't have. Of
concentration.
Yeah, okay. I just can't do it.
I've never done it, so I can't judge you.
Now, we did do, my wife couldn't do it either. She was in the same boat as I was.
Okay.
No pun intended. neither one of us could do it. We were just claustrophobic.
Yeah.
30 minutes into this class, she's going, I don't think I can do it. I'm not even going to the deep end of the pool. And I'm like, thank God you said that. I can't fucking do it. I feel like I'm going to die.
Let's get out of here. I was just
going to die for the sake of the honeymoon.
So what'd you do in the Caribbean?
Well, what I was going to say is we did do snorkeling. You know snorkeling? So snorkeling is the one where you have the pipe that comes up and, 3 feet up. So you just stick your face in the water.
Yeah.
So like you're in the bathtub. so we did that one. I'm like, I got this. And just put my face in the water.
Yeah, okay.
We drank a lot and we hung out on the beach and we had a good week. It was one of those all-inclusive resorts where they have like bars you swim up to and shit in the pool. So you literally everywhere you are, there's like a bar that can serve you drinks. And it's all-inclusive. So
interesting. People like to drink.
People do.
People like to drink.
So let's stick to the topics here. So we're, one of my favorite filmmakers, if not my favorite, is Quentin Tarantino.
Love Quentin.
And we talked about his...
Pulp Fiction changed my life.
No,
Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2, great.
Oh, great.
I mean, yeah.
Amazing. Amazing catalog. And Glorious Bastards. Just Jackie Brown, great film. Just Reservoir Dogs. Great filmmaker. So he's got a new one in the works that's expected to come out next year in November of 2019. It's going to be called... The title has been released called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, not in the West. In Hollywood.
That's
technically it's the Western United States.
Well, yeah, that's true. But we talked about this, I don't know, a couple months ago when it broke that he was going to be doing a Charles Manson themed film, kind of like a biographical.
Oh, this is it.
This is it.
Who's going to play Charles Manson?
Well, I don't know. They haven't announced that yet. However, the stars of the film are going to be Leonardo DiCaprio.
What?
Who he worked with in Django Unchained.
Okay.
And then Brad Pitt, who he worked with in Inglourious Basterds.
Really?
So DiCaprio and Pitt, brother, are going to be the lead roles. Here's the tagline. So, you know, they do a log line for the movie on IMDb and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So here's how Quentin described it. He says, quote, "It is a story that takes place in L.A. in 1969 at the height of hippie Hollywood. The two lead characters, Rick, played by Leo, is the former star of a Western TV show, and his longtime stunt double, Cliff, who will be played by Brad Pitt."
I guess I can see that. They kind of look similar.
Are both now struggling to make it into in a Hollywood that they don't recognize anymore.
Ah, so right now there's vulnerability.
But Rick has a very famous next door neighbor, Sharon Tate.
Sharon Tate.
Sharon Tate's the one that was famously murdered by the Helter Skelter.
Interessante.
Murders by. So Manson, the murder mystery is probably going to be happening at the same time. Their careers kind of things happening.
Every movie is a
perspective. Dude, Tarantino doing this? I mean, this
is
gold, brother.
Every movie is a perspective. Every movie is a specific look at a specific event or series of events. Quentin has such a unique perspective, and that's, I think, what I like so much
about him. I mean, this is gold, brother. Yeah. This is going to be gold. Yes. It's probably going to be pretty violent, too.
I didn't know. What's it called? Inglourious Basterds?
That's accurate.
I didn't know that was Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, yeah. Great film. Yeah. Great film.
Isn't it's Brad Pitt and is George Clooney in that as well? Is he one of the ones in that?
I don't know if Clooney's ever been in a Tarantino film, actually.
Okay. Love Clooney.
I don't think he has, but I like how you want to put Clooney in every movie with Pitt, because so do I.
From I feel like they should be in every movie. Dust Till Dawn?
I think he wrote that, but that was Robert Rodriguez. Yeah.
Well, just, I mean, once you see Ocean's 11,
it's like they need to be together. Yeah,
12 and 13, not
it's like
Ocean's 11, once you see them. Like, you want them to be together in everything.
It's like Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Yeah. It's like, you should be together.
Yeah.
When you are at your best, you're together in a movie.
Exactly.
When you go off and do this Batman shit, you
Jimmy
suck.
Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake, you just hang out and talk and I want
to
watch it.
Do everything together, guys. Like, why are you trying to have your own careers? You know what I mean?
Stop it! Exactly.
It's like me and you. Let's just be together, bro. Don't talk to anyone else about anything.
Hey.
You need me there if you have conversations about politics or whatever.
Let's just be together.
All right. Switching from Tarantino to Barbara Streisand. You almost spit your coffee out.
Yeah.
Barbara. Are you a Streisand person?
Not really.
I mean, you'd recognize her impact, though, right?
Her impact.
Yeah. I mean, she's a big superstar.
I guess I don't follow her.
You don't listen to her tunes.
No, I don't listen to her tunes.
You're not going down the car or listening to her tunes?
Yeah.
You sure?
The one I used to like, The Rose.
Rose.
Some say love.
I think that's Bette Midler, buddy. Yeah. Oh, you're mixing up old white ladies. That's two different people.
What is Barbara Streisand saying?
That'll beat me.
Know.
Chances are. I don't know. I just made that up. I think that's Phil Collins.
When
I don't know.
Win?
Beats me. When that's Bette Midler. Well, you want to talk about Bette Midler? Okay. Let me Google Bette Midler to see what's going on with her these days.
Okay.
Barbara Streisand. Barbara Streisand. It's not really a story about her, but what she made news this week because she did something super kind of weird and creepy. I wanted to ask your opinion on it.
Okay.
She cloned her dead dog.
Weird.
Twice.
Weirder.
Twice.
Weirder.
So Barbara, who obviously is very wealthy, had two cells extracted from her beloved Sammy's mouth and stomach to create two clones.
So they can do that now.
Apparently, if you have the money, I guess.
Okay.
It's not a very cheap procedure.
Yeah.
She also adopted a third dog that happens to be a distant cousin of Sammy. So now she has
the clones weren't enough. I want your cousin too.
Now she has three dogs that basically look like Sammy who passed away last year.
Yeah.
Let it go, or is this a good idea? I mean, what do
you
do?
I say let it go. Now I understand the idea.
Now, wait, whoa.
No.
What if it was Bette Midler's dog? Huh? Bette Midler, what would she do?
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Get Bette on the phone.
Oh, let me see what her dog
get
looks
Bette
like.
Get Bette on the phone.
All right. Well, go ahead. Should we let it go?
I understand you have this relationship with this animal. You don't want to let this animal go. And it's the same reason we hold on to pictures, we hold on to movies, we rewatch things, we relive things. But the idea of holding on to something by keeping a piece of it and recreating it, first of all, it's not going to happen. I'm sure she would tell you it's not the same dog. And she even said, I think I even read a little article about it. She said that they have different personalities. They're not the same dog, even these two clones. But you can't recreate something. That thing, that animal, that friend, that whatever is gone now. And you have to let go and move on with your life. And this, I don't know. I think cloning is weird.
So she's hurting herself here.
As far as like using cloning to clone cells to fight cancer and things like that, but to recreate life in your image the way you would like it, I just think that's kind of like playing God, and I don't think it's a good idea.
It's weird, right?
Let it go.
It's weird.
Yeah, that dog is gone. Let it go.
As a deeper subject, I mean... Cloning in general. I mean, we're talking about dogs here, but just I mean, what about in the future? We see like 50 years in the future, this is going to be happening, right?
Yeah, probably. Now, you can't make the same thing. That's the idea. Like, if I cloned you and made another Gerald, as soon as y'all start having different experiences, you become different people.
That's a dream come true.
I think all of our lady listeners and some of the guys just threw up.
I don't know if anybody else
would. Gerald!
I don't know if anybody else would appreciate it.
My advice to Barbara, you know, you got to let it go.
Barb. Come on. Look, Barbara, just give Bette Midler a call and you guys get together and talk about your...
Sing the Rose.
Sing all of her songs because we don't know any of yours.
Yes.
Okay.
What do you think? I think it's kind of...
Hey, let it go. I mean, it's like I lost my cat Pinky a few years ago and I had her for 21 years, brother.
21-year-old cat.
Yeah, and she was literally the best pet. She just loved me, loved my wife, loved my daughter. My son met her briefly. I think he was two when she passed away. That was tough. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I was very emotional over that as she was with me from high school to college.
Yeah, dude, 21 years.
Marriage to saw my kids born.
That's like
born.
A fourth of your life.
I mean, that's crazy, right? So I can see the desire to want to not let go of them. But once you get through that grieving process, and of course, it's the same with people, of course, but once you get through that grieving process, you realize that's part of life, brother.
And you learn something. I think mourning and grieving teaches you something.
You never know that you're my hero.
Is that
That's Wind Bet? Beneath My Wings, buddy. That's Wind Beneath My Wings.
Okay, that's Wind Beneath.
You're talking about The Rose, which...
Both Bette Midler. All these are Bette Midler.
Everything we've sang today is Bette Midler. Okay. How about this? So we talk about politics a lot on the show.
You do?
So you know, I love from the 90s a movie called Clueless. You know,
As if. Oh, yes.
Alicia Silverstone over there.
Yes,
and,
yes. Previously from the Aerosmith videos.
That's accurate.
Transcended and went into movies with Clueless. That's a great movie.
Paul Rudd.
Cult classic.
Paul Rudd who plays her stepbrother.
Yeah.
What's the black gentleman that was on Scrubs?
He's wonderful.
Forgetting his name for some reason.
Yeah, I love Clueless.
But another actress that was in that film in the 90s got started in her
What's the girl who died recently? Murphy.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about Brittany Murphy. Yep, she was in that as well.
Rolling with the homies. That was our song.
So Stacey Dash, who plays Alicia Silverstone's best friend in Clueless, the black girl in that film, is running for Congress in California. She's running
saving herself for Brad Pitt.
She's running for California's 44th district of Congress. That district is historically Democrat.
And she's a Republican.
She is
as an artist.
Hard Republican, brother.
As an African-American artist, she's outside of the box, I would think.
She's a Republican, but that's actually putting it generously.
Yeah.
She's extremely right-wing. She's been a Fox News correspondent in the last couple of years. She's made controversial statements such as BET should be taken off the air because it segregates races.
I can understand that perspective.
And having
same thing about affirmative
image
action.
Awards and that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, if we really want to unite ourselves as a people, we have to stop doing these things that separate.
I mean,
us.
I get what she's saying, but I can also say that's a little controversial.
Yeah, I can understand.
Especially since she's black. Yeah. You would think she would want to embrace that culture.
Is it weird that I'm more apt to listen to her because I know her from those movies? From that movie? Like,
no.
Because I feel like I know
popularity
her.
Popularity has a lot
to
do with it.
I feel like if she came on Fox News, I'd be like, okay, I'll listen to you. For some reason, because, you know, it's weird. It's weird that way.
I mean, popularity plays into it a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. Like, okay, I'll listen to you.
But then you can look at it on the flip side and you can say, Donald Trump's super popular. I mean, do you want to listen to him?
Well, that's one of the, because I knew him, I never liked him.
He was always a little bit of a gold tower kind of guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she's running for Congress. It's interesting.
Golden towers or golden showers?
Both. He prefers a golden shower in the golden tower. He likes it. He wears gold chains. He does it all. So listen, anyway, she's running for Congress over there in California.
Okay.
It's historically a Democrat district, and it overwhelmingly went to Hillary Clinton.
Well, this is California. California's a very progressive, liberal state.
79% of that district voted for Hillary Clinton in the election.
What part of California is this?
That beats the hell out of me. Okay. Southern California, but I don't know exactly where.
SoCal, bro.
Rolling with the homies. Let's see. Last thing on our entertainment bookend here. Okay. I am a big fan.
How big?
Of writer, filmmaker, actually podcaster as well. Kevin Smith.
Dude, love Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith's great.
Yes. There was
kind of a comedic genius.
I used to work at a restaurant in Westwood Village in Los Angeles, and there was a comic book shop called Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. Mm-hmm. One of two. I think the other one is in their hometown. I think they're from Boston. They're all from Boston, right? Philadelphia? Somewhere on the East Coast.
That Pennsylvania, because Clerks takes place in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. But anyway, there was this. They had a comic.
Paramus.
Yeah. So he owned this little Jersey. He owned this little comic book shop. My brother's a huge fan. So I went in and I got a signed copy of Silent Bob Speaks.
Oh yeah.
One of Kevin Smith's very first, like, not stand-ups, but he goes and tells stories and stuff like that. And okay. I got a signed copy for my brother. It was one of the greatest gifts I ever got him.
Well, that's awesome,
yeah.
dude.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I'm a big Kevin Smith. Of course, yeah. one of my favorite. I mean, just indie comedies, yeah. just like change.
Mallrats, love
Mallrats. Was
Dogma.
Great.
Dogma. It's a great. Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back. Man, that's I mean, really, a hilarious movie.
Really, he does a lot of really good. I mean, he's better in comedy. He did this one a few years ago called Red State, which he tried to do like a dramatic okay. movie. It was okay. about, it was kind of like a rethinking of Waco.
Yeah.
It was like okay. a cult yeah, yeah. kind of thing or whatever. Yeah. And it wasn't a bad movie, but it's like his wheelhouse is comedy, yeah. in my opinion.
And Dogma was cool because Dogma had some very, Dogma, I need to watch it again, but it had some very interesting kind of religious undertones because it was about falling
Oh,
angels.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that was
Alanis Morissette
yeah.
was God.
Alanis played God in that. Yeah. I remember that. That was a great film as well.
Oh, that's good.
He's got a great catalog. He's a great director. Just a funny guy. Well, anyway,
he's a funny guy. He's just a funny guy.
Anyway, Kevin Smith recently suffered a heart attack and really? Was hospitalized.
A massive heart attack.
Yes, he did. He revealed this past Sunday evening that he suffered a massive heart attack, and he shared a photo of himself on Twitter.
He still looks 20 years old.
After his recovery in the hospital. Here's what he said on Twitter.
Okay.
After the first show this evening, I had a massive heart attack. The doctor who saved my life told me I had 100% blockage of my LAD artery, which is AKA the Widowmaker. If I hadn't canceled my number two show to go to the hospital, I probably would have died tonight.
Isn't that crazy? You're doing one show, you stop in between, go, you know what? I might should go to the hospital instead of doing the second show.
Yeah, but for now, I am still above ground. Unquote. So Kevin Smith is recovered. I believe he's been released from the hospital. Yeah. It's been about a week.
But he also.
But that's a scare, brother. Right?
Not
you,
all that,
you get worried about that as you get older.
No.
How old are you?
37.
Wow, you look at least 56. Yeah. But let me ask you, what do I look? I look at least 82,
wow.
right?
Yes.
I look at least dead.
You got a certain Walking Dead quality
tell people,
about you.
I'd be like, I'm 42, but I'm practically dead. I got one foot on a banana peel. I used that joke before. You know that joke now, right?
Yeah.
You know what that means?
Yeah.
What's it mean? Tell me what it means. This is a quiz. I got one foot on a banana peel. What's that mean?
Yeah. It means you're about to slip and fall into something?
Into a grave.
Yeah.
I got one foot in a grave
yeah.
and one foot on a banana peel. Yeah. You never heard that?
Yeah. I've heard
I meant, that. Yeah, you heard that from me a few weeks ago, and now you forgot it already. I'm saying you can use that joke when you feel old.
Okay.
What were we talking about? Bette Midler? Where were we?
No, Bette Midler had a heart attack.
Oh, she did.
She was doing
okay.
stand-up.
She did, and she's in a movie with Brad yeah. Pitt, right? We talked about that?
But this moment, if you look at this,
go ahead.
This Kevin Smith moment, it was very enlightening for him, it seems like. He said, like, you know, I used to have like
yeah.
a fear of this, but now I realize that, you know, I'm not afraid of death at all.
Well, that's what I want to ask you.
I've come so close to it.
Not to get too deep, but that's what I want to ask you. Like, seriously, like, because I don't even remember, it's been months, but we had a loop a while back where I asked you what your greatest fear was, mm-hmm. and you mentioned failure, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And mine was spiders and death. Because I can't do spiders, bro. But like, seriously, I get afraid of dying, not because of the physical
act
death itself, yeah. but missing out on my kids' futures. And
I think that's the thing.
Sharing life
going
with
back to
you.
Going back to Bette Midler's dog. That's the idea.
I'm not even going to correct you
the
anymore.
The reason she wants to clone that dog is because she wants to hold on to something. So I think that's a large part of, as we get older, one of the largest parts of spiritual practice is learning how to let go of holding on to life so you can enjoy it more.
Right.
Because that's the thing. That the biggest fear of death, you're right, is the fear of not... It's not the fear of not existing. It's the fear of not experiencing life anymore.
Is that what you think as well? I mean, how do you... I mean, do you even think about... You're not scared of death,
no,
I'm assuming.
All. Not at all.
Because you've never mentioned it to me.
No.
You're definitely scared of Barbara Streisand's music catalog. But not dying.
No, not scared of dying at all.
So, okay. So, yeah.
I'm sure in the moment when it happens and comes upon me, I'm sure there'll be a certain desire to hold on, a certain anxiety. I don't think.
Do you worry about the heart attack thing, though? No. Or like medical things that you can't really control?
No, because you can't control them.
Yeah.
That's that fun saying. There's a wonderful saying that any situation, you either can control it and will, or can't control it and don't. So you might as well not worry about it.
Nah, let me write that down.
Okay. But
no shot I'm going to remember that.
Like a few years ago, I had what's called pericarditis and monocarditis. I had an inflammation of the pericardium, the heart sac.
Mm.
I got really, really sick for a couple weeks, even a couple months, and then this virus attacked my heart. And right on Christmas Eve, I had to go to the cardiac ICU, and I was in the cardiac ICU for a couple days. And it happened so fast, I never really thought about it. They thought I was having a heart attack. They didn't know I was having a heart attack. They did a heart cath and all that stuff. But through it, not once through that situation to ever think about dying.
Really?
Or what would happen.
Now, here's the flip side.
It happens so quick. You're just in that situation.
So like, here's a contrast. Yeah. Here's a contrast. So the flip side. So 2 years ago, it's coming up on 2 years, actually, on April 1st.
Yeah.
April Fool's Day. So that didn't help my situation, but I had my surgery on April Fool's Day. But anyway, it's coming up on 2 years, and you recall, because you were a big help to me at that point in my life, but I had a surgery. It was an esophageal surgery, so it wasn't like a, it was like 0.00001% of people would die from it, so it wasn't like I had a risk of dying or anything.
Yeah.
But I was afraid of dying.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Even though that particular procedure, I mean, there could be complications from it.
Of course.
But the expectancy of me dying was very low.
But still.
But I still was just worried about
it.
I was worried something was going to go wrong while they were in there, or I wouldn't come out of the anesthesia, or just like weird shit.
Yeah.
Scientifically, it's not really possible.
Yeah.
But that fear existed because I was in a situation where it was, even though it was very minuscule, it was possible.
Interesting.
Do you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, since then, it's been a couple of years, so I'll have sometimes side effects from surgery and chest pains. You know, I've told you about that before, and have to take medication and that kind of thing. And I will, for a brief time, and find myself kind of thinking about, wow, I hope I'm not, nothing crazy is going to happen here.
Yeah.
You know, so I do have that. That fear exists in me. But like I said, I feel like it's more because I just don't want to miss out on stuff in my life. And I know, obviously, if I'm not here, I won't be able to. So,
and that's okay. Because
I think I told you what's fucking with me, too.
In that mystery.
I think I told you what's fucking with me, too, this year in particular, is this year I am the age, 42.
Yeah.
I'm the age that my father was when he passed.
That's heavy, bro.
So
that's heavy.
That kind of hit me pretty hard on my birthday.
Because it,
you know,
it shows you something very close to you, someone you cared about, someone you loved.
Yeah.
And that it does happen.
Right.
People do die at early
age. I saw him at the oldest that I'll ever see him is right now. And that's just weird to me because I can remember thinking he seemed that old. You know what I mean?
Did he have a heart attack? How did he die?
No, he had a rare blood disorder called hemophilia.
Okay.
So he had a low life expectancy anyway. He was only expected to live to be about 50.
Okay.
And this was in the 90s, so they weren't quite as technologically advanced in
medication,
that kind of thing. So he just didn't make it. He went to the hospital for internal bleeding and never came out. Mm-hmm. All right. You guys okay? Everybody good?
Yeah, no, it's a
weird thing, man. But I am kind of subconsciously afraid of it.
Well, I mean, you're always going to be slightly, if not very, apprehensive about the unknown. And death is the ultimate unknown,
right?
Because beyond the veil of life, we all have no idea.
Yep.
So it's unknown. So I mean, that's natural.
All right, brother. Listen, we're gonna take our first promo break, Andy, and we're gonna run a promo for a show that we love. Pump them up, and then when we come back, it's kind of part two of our discussion from last week.
Okay.
I don't know if you know.
I do.
But
know.
We do have a one.
I know because you told me.
Yeah, we have a right. We do have a one deep topic this week, which is Bette Midler's career. We're going to discuss where it's going, where it's been,
and why people always confuse her with Barbra Streisand,
and why she's not Barbra Streisand. We're going to make sure we clear that up for all of our listeners. But no, we come back. We will be on part two of really what is kind of a gun control discussion,
but
we'll talk a little bit about the NRA and their kind of role in it. So stick around. We'll be right back.
I'll be here.
Hey, my name's Paul, and I'm not an animal expert.
I'm Donna, and I'm not an animal expert either.
And together we do a podcast about animals called Varmints.
Every week we pick an animal, do a bunch of research on it, and bring you some interesting facts about that animal.
But we don't stop there. We talk about that animal in movies, TV, and other pop culture.
And we talk about whether or not that animal would make a tasty dish, and how intelligent we think it is on the scale of 1 to 10.
It's exactly like one of those fancy PBS nature documentaries.
Except with more poo jokes.
New episodes go live every Thursday wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Or you can visit us at blazingcariboustudios.com.
Varmints! Varmints!
I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't.
Two Peas on a Podcast, episode 63. Welcome back.
Strumbellas.
Welcome back, guys. You told me your wife's a big fan of them, right?
This is one of my favorite albums.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember if it was you or your wife, but you told me.
Yeah.
Maybe it was you when it came out.
I have not witnessed a better album than this since this album. I love this album.
What album? What did it come out? 2016?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that was a good album. Good album.
Love it.
Yeah, they're good. The Strumbellas, they're a good band. Kind of poppy, kind of rock.
Yeah.
They're good. This was obviously their big hit, but this is called Spirits.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back. Two Piece, episode 63.
Yeah, man.
And we're going to get into our one deep topic this week, which we often do in this segment. bring people down, unfortunately, but we will bring you back up, we promise.
Unlike our lighter bookends where we talk about things like death.
Exactly. We talk about surgeries, death, and whatever else we talked about. What do we talk about besides
Bette Miller?
I know Bette Miller. Okay, so this week the one deep topic is kind of really multifaceted, but it's the NRA's kind of role in mass shootings and just gun culture in general.
Okay.
But obviously, we're going to stick to America because that's where it tends to be the biggest issue.
Well, the National Rifle Association is an American
organization. So the reason it kind of came up, and with the exception of the Florida mass shooting, which we talked about last week, but obviously whenever mass shootings occur, you sent me an article about just there's so many other types of gun-related deaths also. Yeah. Suicide's like the number one, right? I think suicide's the number one gun-related death,
yes.
Yeah, so suicides, obviously pistols, handguns, like there's all kinds of gun-related, quote-unquote.
Well, I mean, what are guns for? Guns are for killing.
Yeah, destruction,
so,
right?
Gun-related deaths, it's obvious. It's going to happen.
Right.
As long as you have guns, people are going to die with guns.
Then you have cities like Chicago where the crime rate is so high and guns are often involved in that.
Of course.
But anyway, whenever there's a mass shooting with a semi-automatic or an automatic weapon,
that takes it to a different level.
That's when the NRA kind of gets the heat put on them a little bit, so to speak.
Because now we're not talking about pistols and we mentioned this last week. We're not talking about guns that have other purposes pistols for law enforcement, pistols for sport, shotguns and hunting rifles for hunting. Semi-automatic weapons, the primary function is to mass kill. It takes it to a different level when you say, okay, we are also able to purchase these guns that are only used really, people collect them for sport and just to have them for fun, but they're actually designed to kill as many people as possible.
So that's the thing. Yeah. So we got the Parkland shooting, of course, a couple weeks ago now. But the reason it also kind of is just kind of spun out of control in terms of the NRA's viewpoint this past week.
Yeah.
Companies have began severing ties with the NRA.
Yeah, man.
A lot of companies, and big companies, I'll list a few of them here in a second, but a lot of companies will offer discounts. You do a AAA discount.
Yeah.
If you have a AAA card, you get discounts.
Yeah.
And the NRA does a similar thing. If you're an NRA member, a lot of these companies entered into a partnership with the NRA that they'll give 10%, 15%.
Well, it's a huge organization. Discount. They have a lot of money, so they have a lot of influence.
Yeah.
So, of course, I'll help Delta, for instance. I'll help you out, you help us out.
Right.
Give our members a discount, and we'll make sure our members always fly Delta.
Right, exactly.
It's a great thing. It's amazing.
So,
Delta,
as you mentioned, United Airlines, Visa, which is a huge one.
Visa, I mean, my goodness. That's the biggest credit card company in the world.
Visa had
MasterCard, Amex.
Visa had an NRA credit card that they offered that gave the NRA members 10% off of, money back and that kind of thing. They're discontinuing that credit card.
Okay.
Hertz rental car.
Okay.
MetLife, Wyndham Hotels. There's a lot. There's actually over 20 at this point that have had previous relationships with the NRA that have now severed them. Another reason it kind of came up is, and I want to talk a lot about this actually, is the CEO of Dick's Sporting Goods.
Okay.
His name is Edward Stack. He made an announcement a few days ago that they are no longer going to be selling assault rifles or high-capacity magazines in their stores.
Mm-hmm.
They are also not going to be selling firearms to anyone under the age of 21, which is also an announcement that Walmart made. Not the first half, the second half,
honestly,
about the
because
age.
Because of my previous relationship with Walmart, my opinions about them, that actually surprised me.
It definitely surprised me. Now, I will say they are still selling them. So Walmart didn't take them off the shelves.
But
Dick's did.
But they've changed,
they changed
the
age requirement.
National age is 18. They've changed it to 21.
Yeah, and they're pushing Congress, supposedly, to do the same
thing.
All
guns are just assault rifles for 21?
Yes. Okay. You can't buy a firearm unless you're 21.
Got it.
Yeah. But I just wanted to make sure the distinction was clear there that Dick's went all in, brother.
So they're selling pistols and shotguns, but they're not selling assault rifles anymore.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. They're complete assault rifles and high capacity magazines will no longer be sold. And in general, whether it's a pistol or a shotgun, you can't buy unless you're 21.
And did you read Dick's made one small step after
Newtown? Yeah, they did a temporary.
They pulled assault rifles out of the stores
temporarily, and then they brought them back within 6 months, I think.
Yes, and they had a specific store that was just for hunting. Where they had him at, but they
Field and Stream.
Yeah. So yeah, I think they made a temporary, but yeah.
So he went on actually several shows.
I saw him on
Good Morning America, and I saw him on MSNBC, I think. So I saw a couple different interviews that echoed the same thing pretty much. But what I thought was interesting, and I want to hear what you have to say about this, but this to me, and he actually said it, so I know it's true, at least from his mindset. Mm-hmm. This is a direct result of the Parkland kids kind of pushing the issue, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They're getting out there and they have a
voice.
Well,
they're speaking.
They're speaking to senators. They're, yeah. You know, they got Marco Rubio's face at the thing. He's a Florida senator.
Yeah.
You know, they Trump had a round table with some of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they, what was it, Gonzalez, yeah. The young lady that had the Fort Lauderdale speech that she gave yeah. after the shooting. I mean, they are our future, and they are using the voice that they have because they are victims of this yeah. of this horrible thing. And I feel like they're making moves, brother.
Yeah, and it's different. It's almost like the Me Too movement. It's different when you have individuals, victims, who are going through this come out and say, this is what happened to us. Mm-hmm. We were in our school, in our classrooms. And this one lady said that, you know, I held this, my friend, as he died of a gunshot wound. I pressed, you know, I put pressure on the bleeding. And
right.
So you have victims are saying, we went through this. Now, other students have gone through this. This keeps happening. We, as the children, as the future of this country, we need something to change, something to happen.
Right.
So it is different when you hear a victim talk about it. Like, this happened to right. me. I need to see something. I need to see that this country, like, I'm a voice in this country, and I need to see that this country cares about what we're going through.
Right. I was going to say that, you know, Edward Stack's position, the CEO mm-hmm. of Dick's, to me, it's like one less gun that we talked about, but just on a broader scale. He's doing something.
Well,
he's mm-hmm. and what he actually said in one of his interviews, and I've always said, and I know you're a religious guy, don't take this the wrong way, but anytime anything like this happens, you'll hear millions and millions of senators and politicians and celebrities and thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
Our thoughts and prayers are with Vegas. We're praying for the kids at Parkland. Mm-hmm. Does that do anything, though?
Yeah.
Do you think your thoughts and prayers are going to stop the next guy for doing a mass shooting?
Let me give you a good analogy. I tell you I love you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a word. What does that do? Well, it shows a sentiment.
Right.
But if I don't show you I love you, it doesn't mean anything. If I don't yeah. show you I love you in my life, if I'm not committed to you, if I don't do things for you, acts of kindness. So thoughts and prayers are almost like saying, you know what? I love you. It's putting a word, a thought, an idea out there, which is good. That's the beginning. Mm-hmm. Thoughts and prayers are the beginning of action. A thought and a prayer should propel you to action.
Right.
So yeah, thoughts and prayers are important, but alone, you're correct. They do nothing alone.
Right.
They should change you and make you want to act.
Yeah, we talked about the hashtag one less gun movement last yeah. week with gun owners and yeah. proponents that were giving up their yeah. assault rifles and firearms in a
Same
show
thing.
Of solidarity.
Same thing, you're right.
And they're doing something. Now, it's one gun.
But it's something.
But that's the point, is the image of that has now, you know, it went viral. Mm-hmm. So other gun owners started doing it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't have a number, but add up how many hashtag one less guns there are. That's yeah. those guns are no longer out there.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got Edward Stack, who took hundreds of thousands of guns off the store shelves.
And Dick's is probably the biggest
like,
sporting goods store
buy,
in the country.
You can't buy them from us.
Nope.
So, you know, now, and will they still be able to get them? That's going to be one of the
of
arguments.
Course.
They're going to get a gun. Whether yeah. Dick sells, I heard one guy in an interview, whether Dick sells it to them or not, they're going to get the gun. Okay. So Dick's keep selling them then? I mean,
well, here's the thing. I think the one less gun in Edward Stack and Dick's Sporting Goods, they're doing the same thing. They're saying, we feel helpless. We feel like we have to do something.
Right.
Like, this keeps happening. We have to do something about this, because obviously on the higher levels, and I want to get into this in a minute, about the reason people are really angry at the NRA is lack of action.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do something about it. So I think it's not about a solution. It's not saying, okay, if I destroy my assault rifle, yay, problem solved. No, it's like, well, what can I do? Well, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I can show that I don't need this thing. And this is one less gun. Because, I mean, one less gun is literally one less gun.
Right. And if you times that by how many people decide
to... And one huge right. sporting goods store saying that we're not carrying these. I mean, think of how many Dick's Sporting Goods there are across the country.
Right. And how many
so,
they
I mean,
take
it's,
in.
It's doing something.
So,
and it's about a movement. It's about solidarity. It's about saying this is what we can do.
He mentioned that he is a gun owner himself. He's a proponent of the Second Amendment. But he does not want to be a part of, quote, this story.
No.
Any longer. Which are why guns are being removed from his store.
Part of the solution or part of the problem? That's the
also,
question.
It's interesting to point out that Cruz, the gunman in Parkland, mm-hmm. had purchased guns from Dick's in the past. And what's interesting there is that Dick's did everything by the book
yeah,
to the letter
legally.
Of the law, and he was still able to get it. And that's the point. If the laws weren't as ineffective as they were, mm-hmm. Dick's wouldn't have to take the guns off the shelves.
Exactly.
And that's kind of what Stack was saying, and I agree mm-hmm. with him. So let's talk about the NRA a little bit.
Okay. I want to, yeah.
Because I know you had a couple of opinions there.
Yeah.
So the NRA, well, where do you want to, because so Trump had a round table with some congressmen trying to come up with some legislation to figure out what they can do to, quote, do the right thing, mm-hmm. as Trump puts it. He criticized a lot of those Republican congressmen, mm-hmm. which I was surprised,
yeah.
to their face.
He said, because you're afraid of the NRA.
Right.
He actually said to their face, well, you're afraid of the NRA.
Right. He said, they have great power over you people. Not so much me. They have less power over me, but they have power over you guys. You guys are afraid of the NRA.
Now, I got a real, before we get into the NRA, I got a question for you. Do you believe Trump in this situation? Do you believe that they don't have power over him?
I feel like on a technicality, they don't because he's already won the office.
Yeah.
Unless you wanted to talk about his reelection.
Yeah.
Because in his reelection campaign, they could give him a lot of money to. At this point right now, as we're talking in 2018, I don't really see where he needs them.
Exactly.
Like, if honestly, that's what you're saying.
I believe him.
Yeah.
Honestly. And I I'll say that to all our first-time listeners. I am not a big fan of Donald Trump at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's an effective leader. I think he's way too egotistical for this office, which a leader needs to be selfless as possible. But I believe, because of his ego, he doesn't need anybody.
Right.
Like, all he wants is validation. And if the NRA is getting in the way of his validation, he's going to brush them off and say, I don't think he needs them at all.
Now, the interesting thing is, I hate the teachers with guns idea, that argument.
No.
And I feel like the NRA loves that because
guns.
Exactly.
It's more guns.
And that's why the NRA would be behind that, because who's going to supply the guns? I mean, the NRA is going to, there's going to be more guns out there.
But just talking about the NRA for a second, here's the thing that I have an issue with. The National Rifle Association, I don't have a big problem with them as an association. I don't have a big problem with what they do. They are a proponent of the Second Amendment. They are an organization that ties gun owners around the country. They're doing what they're doing. It's understandable. The thing that becomes harder and harder and harder with each of these shootings is that the lack of response and responsibility by the NRA. The NRA never coming out and saying, we realize that these things are happening through the weapons that we support.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about dodging. And yes, when they say it's a mental health thing, that's part of it. It's a legislative thing, that's part of it. But you, as a National Rifle Association, eventually, you're going to have to step up and say, we realize that guns are a part of the problem. But they won't say that. So my first, and I have two main issues. I want to get your opinion on this first. My first issue is, have they ever acknowledged any type of responsibility on the side of guns?
Mm-hmm.
Have they ever come out and said, we realize that guns are a part of the problem?
Not to my knowledge, no.
And I think that's where most of the frustration is coming from. Like, dude, you are the National Rifle Association.
Right.
Can't you just acknowledge for a moment, for a millisecond, that guns are a part of the issue?
Right.
You know?
No, you made a good analogy last week about cars. And that was, because I'm an idiot, that was a very simplistic analogy for me, where I was able to kind of get what you were saying. Is like, you know, if the, you know, Honda Civic was responsible, just the Civic was responsible for killing 10,000 people a year, then you'd be like, we need to do something about the Civic.
Yeah, I mean, let's you know examine, like, we just noticed that every time this happens, it's this car.
Right. So you'd be like, we need to have some regulations on this car. Not, we need to figure out what's wrong with this car.
So semiotic, like, I mean, I think what?
The AR-15.
The AR-15, is it involved in how many of them?
Well, I think all of them.
Like all the mass shootings.
It's semi-automatic.
So it seems obviously, well, that, I mean, it may not be responsible, but that's a common denominator.
So did you see Dana Loesch, the hot mom for the NRA that went on the CNN roundtable?
No.
And I didn't see that. Oh, I can't remember if I sent that one to you.
No.
Anyway, she's
been. You
gotta
send these things to me.
She's a spokesman for the NRA.
Okay.
And she was on the town hall thing that CNN did, where they had Marco Rubio there, and they had all the kids, the survivors there.
Yeah.
And anyway, she has a couple quotes here that she's talking about Trump's response to the tragedy and to the NRA's involvement. And she says, I think he's entertaining both sides. I think he's listening to what both sides have to say, unquote. My question is, why are there two sides? Why aren't you on the side of American lives?
Yeah,
especially,
that's true.
Especially children.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go.
That is interesting. That's a good point, because I didn't even think about that.
It's not a side thing,
dude. What are the two sides she's talking about?
We're all Americans.
What are the two sides? Is it the guns versus the non-guns?
That's what it sounds like.
And unfortunately, in politics, it does seem to go that way a lot.
That's what it sounds like.
All of a sudden, it's two sides.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go back to what I said last week, and you know, I get really frustrated with this whole gun debate, because I feel like I've said this before, it's going to take forever to get the legislation in place and to get guns off the street. I mean, we're talking, I mean, just hundreds of thousands of guns is like that. You can't just change that overnight. That's going to take time.
It's part of our culture, like racism, sexism, like all these movements. It's guns are ingrained into who we are.
So I'll just say, you know, why I applaud dicks, excuse me, in the One Less Gun movement. If I had a gun, I would probably be participating in that. It's just because, like I said last week, less guns equals less death.
Solidarity.
And it's no.
This is what I can
that's
do.
That's the easiest thing I can. That's so simple. Like, the more guns you have, the more shootings you will have.
Of course.
Now, mass shootings amplify this issue when they happen.
Yes.
You had Vegas. couple months later, you had the church in Texas.
They're the
couple
big
months
boots.
Later, you
the
had the Parkland.
Boots. They're the big, the things you look
you know,
at.
San Bernardino last year. You know, they heighten everybody's kind of, but guns are killing people every day.
Yeah, that's what they're made for.
So,
but I have another question for you as well. I want to see your opinion on this. So one, I'm a little annoyed or a little disconcerned that the NRA hasn't come out ever and said, to my knowledge, that, okay, we realize that there is a gun thing going on because they can't. Two, like I said, the NRA is the National Rifle Association. I almost understand why they're on the side of guns.
Yeah, of course.
Because that's their goal. The goal is to protect guns, Second Amendment, whatever. Here's the thing that I think is interesting about the way our country works is it's upsetting how much influence the National Rifle Association has in politics because they have money.
Yeah.
It's a money thing. And of course, I mean, it's a part of a culture thing. They're protecting a part of our culture, which we hold dear, our identity as gun owners. It's like, oh, yeah, don't take my guns away. But the fact that they can shape the national, I mean, this is the National Rifle Association. That's all they are. They're a rifle association. Right. They're a gun owning association.
So can I ask you a quick question?
They have so much influence in politics because, I mean, they shouldn't have this much influence.
They do. They do. Can I ask you a quick question? Let's say the ACLU, for example, American Civil Liberties.
Yes.
So they obviously are for equality and immigration reform and that kind of thing. So if they gave millions of dollars to politicians, like the NRA is giving millions of dollars to mostly Republicans. Mm-hmm. Is that in the same wheelhouse, or is it because it's representative of a weapon?
I got to admit, I see it differently. Civil liberties, I mean, because there's... Now, a lot of people don't agree with the ACLU.
Of course not.
The ACLU is historically very unpopular. Like, they defended Ku Klux Klan members.
I just... because it's freedom of speech. But I'm just saying I use that example because it's the first thing that popped in my head.
I guess it's a little bit different.
But that's an ideology as opposed to, like, representing weapons.
You know? We are protecting civil liberties. That's what we're about. We want to contribute to this. But also, I think there's a difference in contributing ideology and contributing ideas and contributing money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The main reason the NRA... I mean, because think... what was the numbers here? How much money did these candidates get?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I know Trump got $30 million.
$30 million. So they are buying their way into the pockets and hearts of our politicians.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, of course, we live in a democracy, but it's a capitalistic democracy, meaning that money runs so much of what we do. Mm-hmm. The more money you have, the more power you have. I mean, look at Donald Trump, he's rich.
Right.
But it's just, it's a little bit disconcerting that because they have something, like, I don't see the Civil Liberties Union affect in politics being money driven, mainly. I see them being ideologically driven. Now, of course, if they had more money, they'd probably have more influence, and that's the sad reality of it.
Right, right.
But it's just hard when you see an association that's completely devoted to gun ownership having a stake in politics.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem right?
Of course you're not. I mean, of course they're not going to say that this is our fault. Of course they're not going to be for gun legislation.
Right.
They're for getting more guns out there.
Yeah, they're for, like, you know, the teachers with guns, because that means more guns.
More guns!
They're for, like, you know, things like putting metal detectors in schools, which I think is a good step. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't remove guns or put legislation on guns.
Why would a rifle association want to remove more rifles?
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I just think it's sad that a lot of these politicians won't take a stand and just say, hey, I don't need your money.
Do you think
I don't want students dying in my schools?
You know? Like, I see small little holes appearing in the arguments of very conservative folks saying, well, maybe we should pull back on this. Do you think the pressure of our society and the pressure, I mean, it is a democracy, so people have power.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the pressure of these victims, like you mentioned, the pressure that they're putting on, do you think it's starting to wear away?
Yes, I think it is. And I think that, I said this last week, I think it's going to be the silver lining of the Parkland shooting is that these kids are going to, a lot of them are going to graduate this year, next year.
Yeah.
They're going to go on to do things because of what they went through.
Democrats, because even Republicans are starting, not only like Delta and all these companies, but you see politicians beginning to step away.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And distance themselves, like, because they know if you want to be reelected in this day and age.
And I hate to say this too.
You might want to rethink.
I hate to say this too, but a lot of it has to do with, like, age. So as these old senators that are, like, 80 years old, you know, are kind of going through the cycle. Because, you know, an 80-year-old man that, you know, lived through, you know, when the National Rifle Association was founded, you know, has a much more of an affinity and attachment to it than a 30 or 40 year old.
Of course, the older you are, the less malleable your thoughts are because you get kind of settled.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that's like kind of the way we progress and grow. I mean, everything we experience changes the way we see the world and we progress. So as we become a country of mass shootings, of course, we're going to start to shift the way we think around
this. This is, and I don't agree with it, obviously, and I don't think you do either, but this is a gun country.
course it is.
We are identified in the world as a country loves guns.
Yeah.
And, you know, cowboy hats and boots and shooting out in the fields and, you know, whatever. Guns, yeah. Guns are part of our... If another country, from any country in the world you could pick, if an artist was painting a picture depicting America, there would be a gun in there somewhere.
I can guarantee you.
A
gun.
An eagle.
And a bunch of money.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, me and my daughter have this running joke, and this is before all the mass shootings, so I don't think it's in bad taste or whatever. Yeah. But there was once we were driving down the interstate, and this is no shit. This is a true story. There was a billboard for a gun show. Because another thing about America, they have gun shows.
Well, down
all the time.
Where we live in the South.
Yeah.
I see those billboards all the time. Gun and knife show.
So they had a gun show coming up, and they had a billboard advertising it, and underneath it, it said, "Kids shoot free.
You're
Bring
kidding.
Your family out to the gun show." Huh? And that just, to me, illustrates what this... I mean, that's the mentality this country has. They fucking love their guns, brother.
They love guns.
And people that are proponents for it and are huge Second Amendment people, they hear these mass shootings and they don't hear the tragedy. They hear, oh my God, they're going to take my guns.
And honestly...
Now, my guns are in trouble now.
It goes deeper than just we love guns. It's a part of our personality. It's part of who we are. It's part of our identity. Our right to have guns is a part of what gives us power. It's part of our identity. So when you take, I mean, think of someone who's growing up their entire lives and guns are a part of their life. If you take their guns away, you're taking a part of who they are away.
Right, exactly.
So it's like you said earlier, these changes will happen slowly, but we got to do something.
Right. And it's like Stephen Colbert had a great little kind of quip on his show last night, actually. I know you didn't see his last night, but he said that it looks like Trump's doing something that Obama never did. He's coming for your guns. So even Colbert kind of was impressed with Trump's kind of like, you're afraid of the NRA, get your shit together speech. So we'll see what he does. I mean, what Congress does. Hopefully they do something.
Yeah.
All right, let's take another quick break, Andy. We will come back. We'll wrap up with our pop culture stuff. We'll get a little more peppy.
Peppy.
We'll come back and have some fun.
We're not going to talk about death or death?
Maybe. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Mark James from the popular Poop Culture Podcast. I'm here today to talk to you about a serious matter millions of Americans struggle with each and every day. Do you suffer from a moderate to severe disinterest in life? Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with social perplexia, a general knowledge deficiency? Then Poop Culture, with all the snatch-em-in, may be right for you. The Poop Culture Podcast gives you your minimum daily required allowance of popular culture, comedy, and general tomfoolery. Please operate heavy machinery while listening to Poop Culture. If you achieve an erection lasting more than 4 hours, then good for you. Side effects may include, but are not limited to, nausea, diarrhea, general sense of euphoria, hallucinations, side and stomach cramps, social gaping, anal leakage, and dry mouth. Listen to the Poop Culture Podcast and gain the confidence you need to relate to people once again. No need to ask your doctor, because Poop Culture is right for you.
Poop culture, it's a poop culture.
Welcome back in, guys.
Hey.
Episode 63, Two Peas on a Podcast.
All right.
Andy, let's wrap up.
Let's do
our pop culture stuff here. Let's see.
Ooh.
Did you... got a few. I got a few good ones this week.
You got that look. Okay.
Got a few good ones this week. Some fun stuff I read this week. Did you... we talked about Best Buy a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Did you ever hit up Circuit City in the 90s, 2000s?
Yes.
Love Circuit City, man.
Circuit City, it seems like they were more for actual...
I feel like...
They were more for appliances and stuff.
I feel like Circuit City came before Best Buy,
right? Yeah, when Best Buy came out, it was more for media. Like, I remember, do you remember Media Play?
Oh, yeah.
Media Play was before Best Buy. And that was like, Circuit City was where you went to get toasters. And they had some
but
stuff.
But I do remember getting music at Circuit City.
I don't think they were for that.
I feel like when Best Buy came, it was almost like, holy shit, Circuit City blew up here. This is Circuit City, but better.
Yes.
I felt like.
And Best Buy has much more, like, because of course, Best Buy came at the advent of CDs and video games.
Yeah.
DVDs, when all that, I mean, because there was a time in our past where DVDs, CDs, and video games, man.
Well,
you had some money, you wanted to get a CD, a DVD, and a video game.
Well, Circuit City made an announcement at CES in Las Vegas, the electronic convention in Vegas, a couple weeks ago that they're coming back. They want to make a comeback.
They're all closed.
They closed in 2009, all stores.
Okay.
But they have an e-commerce site that's going to be launched where you can purchase things online.
Oh, and their hope, that's the new way. That's the wave of the future, bro.
Their hope is that it will be successful enough that lead to opening more brick-and-mortar stores. So
they're trying to get back in the game.
Get ready. I don't know. Best Buy's still kicking. Best Buy's still kicking.
They're becoming
more
of
them getting rid of their music. They're getting rid of their music. But they're stopped
selling CDs. Think about it. There's still plenty of electronics out there. I bet they sell a lot of TVs, stereos.
Well, speaking of that, dude, you're on it.
I'm on the ball, bro.
You're killing it with your segue today.
Okay.
Did you see Samsung's new television called The Wall?
Why do they call it The Wall, Gerald?
Listen to this, brother.
Okay.
They're not calling it the wall for nothing. It is a 146-inch TV.
146 inches. That's a lot of inches,
it's,
bro.
It's a double to triple the size of most home television sets.
It's like a wall.
It is literally a wall.
Is bad for your eyes, though? It's got to be bad for you. It can't be good for you.
I'm in. I haven't asked I haven't asked my wife if we can get this shit.
How much is that going to cost?
Well, here it is. Samsung has not provided an official price, and there is no launch date either, but they do have a press event scheduled in March where they plan to discuss the massive television. So get ready,
I'm
buddy.
I'm surprised. I guess finally technology's here where it can be wall. Like light enough to hang. And what if you, I don't want a wall, dude. What if you go over somebody's house? I don't want it.
Well, you go over somebody's house, they have the wall.
Dude, I don't want
that'd
it.
That'd be Super Bowl
you know
party.
Why? Because check it out. Boom. You only have a certain amount of space in your house. Do you want that much space devoted to TV?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, is that a trick question? Of course I do. Of course I do.
I don't want my entire life being pointed at a screen.
I mean, what would it be
why
like?
Why go outside? This TV's bigger than the sky.
It'd be like having a movie theater screen in your house.
It would be convenient for certain things. Now, if I had a mansion, like had a room just
Super
for
Bowl,
movies.
Man. Super Bowl party.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if you get one, I'll come
watch
over
a naughty
watch
movie
it.
On there. You imagine watching a naughty movie on there? Have like a giant penis coming at you?
126 inches. 146.
Let's get it right.
146 inches.
Yeah. Whoa. That's a big pee-pee. I know you're a big fan of Deadpool.
Yeah, I love Deadpool.
But I was surprised to find out when we mentioned it a while back that you didn't know what Cards Against Humanity was.
No, I don't.
Which, by the way, I have it. So
it's a card game.
It's
right?
a card game. But it's like apples to apples, but it's like an adult version.
Ooh, is it naughty?
It's naughty. It's politically incorrect.
I love apples to apples.
It's very taboo.
Okay.
But anyway, Deadpool is getting a Cards Against Humanity-esque game.
Really?
It's going to be called Deadpool versus the World. It's going to feature 100 custom illustrations of Deadpool.
Oh, wonderful.
Gameplay is such that a WTF card is flipped over, and players must select a wet erase caption card from their hand and fill in the blank with the pen to come up with the wittiest caption.
Ooh, interesting. Because, you know, I mean, Deadpool's witty.
Yeah, of course.
Come on.
Winning requires players to tread outside of their comfort zone and fill in the blanks on the cards with illicit, inappropriate responses, ensuring outcomes of surprise, shock, and laughter.
Wonderful.
Deadpool versus the World will be available this summer and will retail for $25.
You going to get it?
I think so.
You going to go grab that? You going to cop that, son?
I think so. I'm a big Deadpool fan. It'll kind of correspond with the release of Deadpool 2.
Ah, Deadpool 2's coming out in summer?
Yeah, I'm excited about that, brother. Yeah. They have a new trailer for that, by the way.
Yeah.
I need you to buckle up for this one. This one's not safe for work.
I was wondering why when I got here, there's a buckle on my
seat. Any children listening, please turn off. All right, so there's a company called...
They can go to the gun show if they want to.
Yeah, go to the gun show. Don't listen to this. There's a company called Cam Soda in California.
Cam Soda?
That's the name of the company.
Okay.
They produce technology for the sexual revolution.
What?
Okay. So I'm setting you up here.
Okay.
So there is a new sex toy.
Ooh.
A vibrator.
Have you got it yet?
It's for women. I don't have it. You think I was sticking in my butthole? It's a sex toy for women that will order you a pizza. Okay. Hold on. You want me to elaborate or are you good?
No, keep going.
Okay.
Keep going.
So it's called the Rub Grub.
The Rub Grub.
Right. I like these guys. The Rub Grub is a Bluetooth-enabled vibrator that can order you your favorite Domino's pizza at the touch of a button.
Now, here's the thing.
Which button? Hey.
Have you ever wanted a pizza after sex?
I always want a pizza, brother.
See, I love pizza.
I always want
that,
a pizza.
Is that, I mean, did they do research?
I
need to ask my wife. Do women actually want food after sex? Is that like after, after the orgasm? Like, oh, I'm hungry now.
I don't know. My wife probably wants a therapist after sex. I don't know what she wants.
I just want somebody to talk to.
So Domino's was asked if they could sever their ties.
Because Domino's didn't know about this, did
Domino's didn't endorse it, but so they're a public domain. So like you click it goes to Domino's.com and orders your favorite pizza. That you don't have to like, you know, anybody can go to the website.
Yeah.
So Domino's says, or they asked, say, could you sever the ties with this company? And Domino's says, quote, yes, we could.
But?
Would we? Too early to tell.
Exactly.
Now listen to this. Cam Soda is a company that's really... I mean, if you want to say innovative, that's fine, but it's fucking weird, brother. So they've already introduced a couple things. So have you heard of this thing, virtual reality porn? It's where you like watch porn, but it's with the virtual reality glasses, so it's like you're there.
Oh, you see it. I'm with this.
It's like a new,
it's
like
I'm with this goat.
Yeah, it's like a new thing, but it's called VR porn. Well, anyway, they introduced technology that allows you to smell the environment.
What are you smelling?
Sex, I guess. I don't know.
What does sex smell? Sex
I don't
does
know,
okay.
Brother. I'm just telling you something they came up with.
I'm married. I'm happily married. I'm a big fan of sex, but sex doesn't necessarily smell good.
I don't need to smell it, brother.
It doesn't smell good.
I'm watching it in interaction. You know?
Yeah, I mean.
And then the other thing they introduced last year is you can use your penis to lock. to log into website security.
How do you do it?
You scan your dick.
What?
And it's only your dick. So it's like your fingerprint.
All penises that different?
I mean, I guess.
Like, how would they know?
It's like a fingerprint. So it's like scans your penis and lets you into the website. Yeah. So these are the other things.
This has got to be Gerald.
These are other, now, of everything I just told you, the pizza one's probably the most innovative.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, that's good, right?
Because, I mean, you're exhausted. You're laying back on the bed. Yeah. And all of a sudden, 20 minutes later... Hey, pizza's here.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not even done yet. I gotta get this guy in. All right, you ready? I gotta. Anything else you want to say about the Rub Grub?
No, I'm
I don't want to cut you short there.
No, I'm good.
You getting? Yeah. You think you're gonna get your wife this for Christmas or anything?
Maybe. I'm thinking about it.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Tell her about the pizza feature though.
Yeah, the pizza
Make sure
thing.
She gets used.
But, I mean,
that.
Find out. Speaking about innovation, that's an idea I would have never thought of. You got to give it to Grubhub. No. Grubhub.
Don't give it to Grubhub. Don't get them confused. Okay. Grubhub's definitely not doing this. Rub Grub.
You got to give it to Rub Grub. I mean, they did. They've made something very innovative.
Hey, they brought the heat there, brother.
You know what? I'm pretty proud of Domino's for not shying away from us too quickly. Saying, you know what?
Have fun, people.
Exactly.
You know, have fun. Now, the
get yourself a pizza.
The smelling your porn is a little. I don't need to smell porn. Yeah. I wonder how many people are using that.
Then, you want to get
and then logging in with
Twitter
your
poll.
Penis.
I mean, Twitter poll.
Logging in with your penis is weird because that excludes women. What are they going to do? What do they got to get on the website? They got to go grab somebody's penis. Hey, can you come over here and scan me into my Gmail? All right, you ready? I'm going to throw you for a loop, brother.
This has got to be a really funky loop.
So we, well, you came up with this one.
I did.
And I like it.
I haven't thought about it yet.
Well, I did when you, I do this thing where you, first thing that pops in my head.
Okay.
So I got mine.
Yeah.
But anyway, you came over this morning. I said, Andy, I don't know what to do this week for a loop. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to do anything about a vibrator, so I don't know what to do here.
If you could order pizza with one of your sex toys, which would it be?
What would it be? So you came up with this one. I think it's great. I came up with an answer.
After what activity would you really want a pizza?
My answer is a little abstract. Hopefully you accept my answer. So here's a loop.
Okay.
If you could turn every gun in America into something else by snapping your fingers, what would you turn them into?
Now, I did think about this a little bit because in the last like 5 minutes as you were talking, as I knew we were going up to this, but because of the need in the world, I think every gun could be turned into a bottle of fresh water.
Hmm. Okay.
I was thinking a tree as well. Because we can plant trees, but
give everybody a water.
Water is a scarcity, honestly, in our world. Like a lot of people don't have access to water. So I think if every gun transformed itself into a bottle of fresh water.
Hey, throwback to one of our earlier episodes. Is it a Deer Park water?
It's delicious, it is.
Dude, long time listeners are only going to get that joke. Yeah. And by that, I mean basically me and you. Nobody else gets that joke.
Just you. I don't listen.
Okay. Just me. I'm the only one that gets that joke.
Yeah.
That's from like episode one.
I think a bottle of water. I mean, I think a bottle of water is a lot more.
Well, here's mine. We got to wrap up, but here's mine. Mine's abstract. Hopefully you accept it. But if you could turn every gun into something else, I would turn it into a song. That person's favorite song. Yeah. Whatever your favorite song is that you can hear it. Anytime you want to fire a gun, instead, you listen to your favorite song.
Dude, how therapeutic would that be?
Yeah, music
because
is...
Exactly.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
Did you like my answer?
I loved your answer.
All right, buddy, I'm going to bring French Montana back in here for you, and I'm going to let you give us your final thought for episode 63, brother. Make it unforgettable.
Yes. Every action creates something in the world. Every thought, every word, every deed. I've told you that before. Often you feel like, well, what can I do? You can always do something. What can you do? I mean, just add something to the world. When there's a problem out there in the world, don't get lost in trying to solve the problem. Ask, what small thing can I do? What small thing can I contribute? You're either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. If there's a problem in your life, what are you going to do to become a part of that solution?
I like it, brother. Andy, as always, thanks for chatting, man. I know we got deep there on the gun control stuff.
You're still alive. But, I'm very happy that you're here.
You know,
I'm going to go home, listen to some Bette Midler.
Please do. Get your Barbra Streisand CDs out on the way back. Put your cassette tape in. We'll be back next week for episode 64. Again, I could possibly have that wrong, but I think I'm not very organized here.
I have no idea.
I think next week's episode 64. Andy and Gerald, thank you. Make sure you look up all of our information in the show notes. Andy, until next week, stay fresh, bro.
I'm fresh.
Stay fresh.
Homie,
go to rubgrub.com and see what Christmas specials they have.
Is it weird that after every time we do a podcast together, I want a pizza afterwards?
Does
that say something?
Tell Grubhub. They might be on something there.
Okay.
Yeah. I could smell you. It's not even VR, brother. All right, man. I'll see you next week.
I'll be here.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.